as we worship you, we realize that we've been called to reflect you. That there's nothing that we have to offer for this world, oh God, except just reflecting your greatness, your goodness, and your mercy toward this world. And God, this morning we come and we recognize that, Father God, that so often we think that we've got anything to offer, and yet we are only here, Father God, to reflect your glory. And we come this morning and we recognize that, and we say, God, give us a fresh revelation of who you are. We cannot reflect that which we've not received. And this morning we ask that you will come afresh and just renew within us a fresh anointing to experience your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. Thanks to the worship team this morning. It's just amazing how through all of the cold, there's people standing at the back. There's a lot of space here in front, eh? Don't be afraid. For those of you that don't know, I'm Hercules. I'm of Hercules, in Afrikaans. I'm actually living in Somerset West, but involved at Stellenbosch congregation, especially the HQ, our headquarters of Shofar. And it's a privilege to be here this morning. I'm a son of this house. I know Wessel and the older people here. Not old people, Wessel, you're not old. The young people like Blanche and Umjani and the rest, really people that spoke into my life in the past tremendously. It's a privilege to be here. I want to just this morning continue on something that I've actually started with a leadership weekend when I was here last year. And I always thought if I would be asked to come back again, I would love to finish what I've started. So this morning, some of the principles I've shared with the leaders that was at the leadership weekend, but I'm going to continue on them, and I trust that God is going to do something in your heart. It's amazing just to see what's happening worldwide. I was now a few weeks ago in Canada for the church, and it was amazing to see just a few guys coming together there and saying, listen, we want to actually start something for the church or Shofar in Canada. We're excited to see just the zeal and the passion that these guys have. And I want to just say, guys, it's tremendous to, after 10 or even more years, see that the same zeal and passion are in their hearts. And I want to talk about a few of those principles this morning. So I want to start with Isaiah 3, verse 10 to 11. And I'm going to just quickly pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this morning you would reveal yourself, your heart to us. And Father, it's just tremendous to be in your house. We want to agree with what the psalmist said. Being, Father God, in your house just exceeds in anything and everything, Father God, because we can experience your presence. Not because, Father God, the worship is amazing, and it was this morning, but Father God, and not because it's a nice seat that we are sitting on and the fellowship even, but the fact that we can experience your presence. We ask that you will reveal yourself more to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've read a few things about Schaeffer, one of the theologians of the time, and he shared a few things about the fact that, you know, when we live in society, every society comes to an end at a certain stage when a revolution takes place, when people are dissatisfied with what the season has to offer. And that brings them to a place where they reconsider, reevaluate what is happening in their society. So through the ages, we see many communities, many societies, many nations coming to a place where they are reconsidering the way that they are doing things and the principles that they live by. And according to those frustrations and even revolution that takes place, they must come to a point where they go and sit down and determine how the next season will look like. Actually, Charlene gave me some of the material of Shifa, but it was amazing. Charlene, thanks. It was amazing. Just to understand that if we want certain fruit, we must live according to certain principles. Is it not so? Okay, are you with me this morning? You must work with me because I need to see these principles being established in your life. So every set of principles that you live by will produce a certain kind of fruit. And so a new generation or a new community or a new flow of God, people must go and sit down and they must say, listen, these are the principles that we will live by because we want this kind of fruit. Are you with me? So for us as Christians, we've made some choices in even raising up our children because we know that there's certain fruit that we want to establish in their lives. And in order to get there, we must cultivate certain principles being established in their lives. Now, I can tell you it's a great challenge. Having kids now, and you know, my eldest daughter is 12 years old, and I'm experiencing now a different kind of kid in the house, okay? Somebody that for the first year, it's now a switch that was put on this year. I don't know what happened. It happened over the December holidays. When she started at school in January, we had to, you know, adopt certain things that is quite crazy in our house. And I see the older people in the house laugh at me because they know what I'm talking about. It's just now everything we say is not believed to be true. We are challenged in different ways because now we are, you know, just not cool anymore. So I've got a situation now when we get to school, I always get this reprimand from my eldest daughter saying, listen, please, Dad, just put it a little bit softer, the music. Because if I open the door, I don't want the rest of the kids to experience this music, okay? And then, you know, I'm very deliberately putting on that music very loud, and she would run for the gate of the school as fast as she could. And then the little one sitting at the back seat, she would say, Papa, just put it louder, louder, louder. And when I get to her school, she says, Dad, just put it on loud when you open the door because I want my friends to hear. So things change over the years, but I can tell you that there's from living certain principles, we see certain fruit in our children's lives. And is it not so? It's normally the things that is not that good in their lives is the things that you realize is not good in your life. And that is quite a frightening experience when you start to experience that there's certain things that's so similar to what you don't get right in your life. You know what? Living by the principles of God brings us to the understanding that the God of the creation, the God of the universe, created us for a certain purpose and an understanding that we would fulfill a certain purpose here on earth. Now, as we experience these days buying any product, you would get some instructions going with that product. And if you read through those instructions and you follow it carefully, you will see a certain result happening. But if you, like me, you just put on the system or the appliance that you've bought and you figure it out, and sometimes to the detriment of blowing up a battery or whatever, okay? Because if you don't use it according to the instructions, it will not work properly for the work that it has been made for. And so if I would take, and I've said it in the past in this church as well, if I would take a pencil and I would want to drill a hole in this wall, it will... Okay, there's one person. Is it you that's awake this morning? Okay, you can't drill a hole in a wall with a pencil. You use a drill to do that. Okay? But the reason why you are using the drill is because it's made to fulfill that function. And I see so many Christians following a life's calling that is not fit to what they've been made to do. And that's why Paul is even saying to us, listen, don't strive because it's senseless. Because if you strive according to what happens in somebody else's life, you are measuring yourself with the wrong yardstick. Because you need to fulfill the function that God has called you to do. I love what John Bevere says. He says, you will not be judged according to the things that you've done here on earth, but according to the things that you've been called to do. Okay, this is now important because I'm building some blocks here this morning. You will not be judged according to the things that you've done here on earth as much as you would be judged according to the things that you've been asked to do. Because certain things in our life being established would not be of eternal value. You know, I remember driving back with Uncle Angus years ago. We had an outreach here in Frans Huckstel at the town hall. Danny Blanche and the people being in the church for long would remember those outreaches that we did here in the town hall. I went to Uncle Angus then. I think it was about 1999, 2000, and I went to his farm to just go and organize the event being here. And when I was at his farm, we came back and we drove to the airport with him and his brother, Fergie. And I remember him asking me the whole time, so Hercules, can you see the need that is here all around you? And then I would look as a young pastor, I would say, yes, Uncle Angus, this is amazing. And then he would ask me, so are you called for this? And I say, yes, Uncle Angus, I'm called for this thing. And the closer we got to the airport, he said to me, you know what? You've not been called to fulfill this function. Because you cannot be the solution to every problem that there is in the earth. There's certain things that God has called you to fulfill that you must go and ask God for. And those were defining moments in my life when I realized that I had to focus on the things that God has called me to do. And I want to say to you this morning that we choose certain principles and idols to live by. And I'm going to talk about those idols this morning. Isaiah 3, chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Tell the righteous, listen to this, this is powerful. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him. Proverbs 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. This is harsh words. Are you with me this morning? John 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now I want to say to you, there's two kinds of people. Those who believe in idols and those who idolize God. And we must make the choice. Because the thing that you fear, that you will worship and serve in your life. And I've been in Europe now as well, in Utrecht and back in London. I can tell you there's a shakening happening in Europe. For the first time, you can share the gospel again. Because people are so full of fear of the societies that they are living in. You know, because of ISIS and because of economic decay and all kinds of stuff happening and shaking their worlds. And for the first time, because of fear, they start to ask questions. I want to get back to what I said in the beginning. We will only fulfill life's calling if we fear the one which we want to worship, that is God. If our trust is not in Him, we will fail every time around. And I want to tell you, we so easily call out freedom in society and we want to live according to freedom principles. But every freedom comes to the detriment of somebody else's freedom. Are you with me? If you want freedom and you want certain things to work for you, it will always be to the detriment of somebody else's freedom, because they will have to give that up so that you can live. And so if we want to see a society where we can worship God, we must idolize Him and make sure that He's the main focus in our lives. So the first thing that I want to mention is God is holy, and therefore we need to fear Him. You exist for God's glory. Can I just say this morning, there's three things why we are on this earth. The first thing is what I prayed about this morning, is we are here to reflect the glory of God, which means that you and I cannot reflect what we have not received. Are you with me? I was just reminded again about this now. You cannot reflect anything if you've not received it. It's like the moon. The moon does not have any light if it does not receive the sunlight that bounces against it and reflects toward the earth. Are you with me? So the Bible speaks of the lesser and the greater light. We are the lesser light and God is the greater light. God is the one who shines upon us, and within doing so, we reflect His light here on earth. Okay, are you with me? So we are here to reflect God. We are here to reproduce whatever He has done in our lives. Which means that that which we receive, we have a responsibility, and we are left on this earth with a responsibility to duplicate that which we receive. And that is a challenge. I'm going to talk about it this morning. Because I think that in church, we many times miss God on this one, and we are driven by the wrong motives, to be puffed up ourselves, rather than to see other people being established and being raised up in their life's calling. And then it's reflect, reproduce, and what's the other one? Represent. We are here to represent God. So God deemed it fit for you and I to come and live on this earth, and we can represent Him and His glory. But can I just say that you are only here to glorify Him? I think we're going to be quite surprised in heaven one day if we realize that every being that lives on this planet just lives to glorify the King of all kings. Worthy, glory, glory, glory to the King Almighty. Worship Him. So I can just say to you this morning, it's going to be difficult to be in the presence of God and not be able to worship Him. And I want to ask you guys, we must start to really, like the worship team said this morning, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Connect with Him when we worship. Not just sing it because it's a nice song, it's nice to have church, and we must connect to the King and give Him glory due to Him, because He's worthy, He's holy. And so, I want to just say to you this morning, God has made you in a certain way, and we, you know, normally, because of the flesh, wants to rebel against the exact thing that God has called us to do. And in reflecting Him, we sometimes miss out on what God wants to do in our lives. And then there's those who fear idols. And I want to just say this morning, when we are not respected in our identity and calling, we feel confused, and this brings fear. And normally the things that challenge us the most is, first of all, the acceptance by the trend, things that happens around us, you know, how society live, the things that is important to society becomes for us important rather than the things that God wants us to do, because it's much easier to always focus on the things that, you know, looks cool and do the right stuff. And it's amazing to see these days that what we would do, not even having the finances, what we would do to actually stay with the trend. Because we are so afraid that if we miss out on what's happening, we're going to miss out on what society has to offer. And I want to just say to you this morning, I'm as guilty as you are. But the fact is, we have a society that are idolizing the wrong things. The second thing that that brings fear and brings idols into our lives is materialism, and then beauty, status, like education. We rebel against everything that that society has to offer. And then the identity in my culture, my family, the fact that I have a certain family legacy and I want to be responsible and I want to make sure that I actually am a good steward of what my family has to offer. And sometimes we are challenged by the fact that those family values are not even what Christ wants for us. And it's difficult, I can tell you. I come out of a very proud family. I come out of a family that believes that you don't waste time. You make sure that you're a good steward of this life. You make sure that you stand up early in the morning and you do great things, because I've been trained to do that. My dad would, even in the holidays, wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, come on, let's focus, okay? And it's difficult sometimes to think about these things, and you are challenged by the fact that God wants us to actually embrace His values and embrace the things that is important to Him. And then the instructors in our lives, like our parents, teachers, and pastors, that that speaks into our lives. Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22, something that Vessel actually mentioned this morning. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the young man said to him, all these things I've kept, what do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you've possessed and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this is a defining moment in this young man's life. Because Jesus comes to him, or he comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus, what is the things that I should live by to have eternal life? And so Jesus started off with what is considered, and I said it this morning, certain principles, laws that would govern life. And he said to him, listen, let's start with the most important thing as a starting block, that we must live according to certain principles if we want to experience life in abundance. And then Jesus comes to the second phase of this character. And he says to him, listen, can we talk about the idols in your life? Because if you want true abundance, if you want to have true eternal life, you must understand what it means to give up everything, follow me, and make me the idol of your life. And I can tell you, this was such a defining moment in this young man's life, because he turned away. He knew that he could not fulfill it. And Jesus did not run after him, but Jesus left him. But you know what was amazing for me is actually what followed. Is the fact that Jesus could have this conversation with the rest of his disciples. Because when everyone left, the disciples asked him, so we that received, that gave up everything, Jesus, can we talk about making you the idol of our lives? The fact that we are doing it, that we actually, the day when you said, follow me, you gave up, we gave up everything. And Jesus said, to you, I can give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me. There was a lot of people that followed Jesus. There were some very close to him. There were some that every day came and listened to his stories. And then there was those, who, the critics at the back, would always listen to him because they were critical about his teachings and the things that he had to say. Those were not the people that Jesus would share the kingdom keys. And so, even when this young man came with all the desire to have more, and I think all of us agree this morning that he wanted more, is it not so? He wanted more out of life because he realized that I don't have it everything. I don't have everything. Because if he lived by the principles and he made sure that he lived by those so that he can have eternal life, he would have assurance. But he knew that there was something extra. And so Jesus could engage with him and give him what it will cost him. And I can tell you, for the rest who was willing to come to address the idols in their lives, to come and give up everything, those Jesus could give, the principles of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus would sit down with them, and you know, it's a beautiful part of scripture. And Jesus said to them, can I tell you, you, the 12, you will judge the people one day when they get into eternity. You will sit on the 12 thrones judging the people. And I can tell you, the beauty of this is that God allows us to come into a relationship with him that challenges us. Are you afraid of what God would expect of you to do in following his kingdom? Maybe even moving to another place, selling your possessions. And I want to just say this morning, until you and I can come to give God a blank check, we will never be able to follow him. Do you know what that means? If God says it's time to pack up and go and do whatever, we must do it. If God says sell your possessions and give it to the poor, we must do it. There's only a few Christians, and I'm including myself because I know that I'm not there, that can do that. That if God says today, when you stop at the fuel station and you talk to that person that actually is, pouring in the petrol, or what do you say, filling up the petrol tank, and God says to you, listen, that savings that you have, would you be able to give? Because today I want to do an extraordinary thing. Can I tell you that when we live according to the promises of God, every day is a day where God starts to encounter in our lives so that we can do extraordinary things. I'm not saying this morning you must give up all your finances. I'm saying be obedient whenever God speaks. I'm saying that if you don't have those encounters in your life, if you're not living a life where God can speak to you and you are perfectly obedient because you want to do his will every day of your life, you're missing out on what God wants to do. And I'm challenged by this. Because I know that, you know, I'm in a hurry walking toward town in Stellenbosch, and then I would walk past the boom where the person is busy working, opening the gate every day to the security guard to make sure that people pay for their parking. And then God says, stop, I know that you're late, but now you're going to encounter something that I want to do in this person's life. And then I need to stop. And I stand there and I'm so nervous because I know I'm so late. That person is going to kill me that I need to go to now. God says, you don't walk. You be obedient. Ask her, how is it going in her life? And then she says to me, listen, it's amazing that you ask me. Because this morning I heard that my son, which only have one kidney left, that kidney is now in failure. And he desperately needs somebody to donate that kidney. And God says, pray. Because I want to do something in this person's life. You know, I don't know even what the result of that was. I just prayed and I said, listen, I'll stand in faith with you. I cannot give you anything, but I can tell you, God has an encounter with you today. And And then I see the tears rolling down her eyes. I don't know what God has done in her life, but I can tell you, it's so easy to miss those moments in everyday life because we are not focused on what God wants to do, because we are idolizing the wrong things. We're not idolizing the God of the universe that made us for a certain purpose, to establish us, to fulfill His promises in our lives. Many of us, and I can, you know, even be challenged myself, are working for a pension for one day to make sure that we have enough in the bank when we need to retire. Many of us are driven by such securities. And I want to just say to you this morning, yes, that's great. And even Vessel said it this morning. It's great. Don't not do it. But I just want to say to you, that's not the ultimate. Being obedient to God and living in the legacy of what He wants to establish in our lives is much more important. And then the thing of wholeness. The fact that we are not experiencing God in His fullness because we are not whole. And I want to just say to you, you know, some things in life happen and it breaks us and it hinders us to actually come to a full understanding of God's holiness in our lives. Because we want to be in control. And I just want to say to you this morning, for us, there's always the desire to be in control. If you can be in control, you would feel that there's peace. Because the more you can control, the less you need to worry about material things and relationships. And I just want to say to you this morning, there's a pendulum running in our lives, and I've mentioned it in the past year in this church as well. There's a pendulum running in our lives which has the same base, which has the same foundation, and that's self. Where we always struggle to find ourselves in the midst of our circumstances in a place where we lose control. Listen to this. Selfishness and control manifest through the next pendulum. Either self-pity, which says, listen, God, I'm so bad, I cannot do anything, I cannot do and fulfill this calling that You have called me to. God, I feel so sorry for myself, I cannot fulfill Your life's calling. Or the other side of the pendulum is the one of arrogance, where you see people being in such total control that they start to manipulate and start to rule over people and control them. Now, I want to just say to you, within